C.S. Lewis once said, "You are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream." Hi, I'm Rob West. Retirement from your regular job one day will give you the opportunity to find a new way to serve the Lord. But along the way, you can make mistakes that may slow the process down. We'll go over a few today so you can avoid them. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Now, I should point out that the biggest mistake you can possibly make with respect to retirement is to not save enough during your working years. We always recommend that you put 10 to 15% of your income into a qualified retirement plan like a 401k, 403b, or an IRA. The younger you are, the more likely a Roth IRA will be best for you. If you fail to contribute enough to your retirement plan, it won't generate enough income to support you when you stop working. You can't depend on Social Security alone. The earlier you begin putting money away for retirement, the better off you'll be due to compound earnings. So avoid the biggest retirement mistake. Make sure you're contributing regularly to your qualified plan. There are several more mistakes you can make, however, and many of them have to do with rollovers. If you don't do them right, they can cost you a lot of money. The first rollover mistake to avoid is not paying attention to the one per year rule. This happens if you change your mind about where you want to move your money and grow impatient. In most cases, you can make only one IRA to IRA rollover in a 12-month period. If you do more than one, that money will probably be included in your adjusted gross income. That's potentially a huge taxable event. But that's not all. The IRS will also treat the second rollover as an excess contribution, which will trigger an additional 6% tax for every year the money stays in the new IRA. So whatever you do, plan your rollovers carefully and never do more than one per year. The next big rollover mistake is to lose track of the time and miss the 60-day rollover deadline. If you withdraw money from your IRA, you have 60 days to deposit that money into another qualified retirement plan, usually another IRA. If for any reason you take longer than that, the distribution will be added to your adjusted gross income. Now, who would do something like that? Well, just about anyone can get caught up in the daily grind and let time slip away. We hear from them occasionally, and there's really no way to help them except to say that since the money is already out of the 401k or traditional IRA, they have until December 31st of that year to do a Roth conversion. They can take what's left of the distribution after taxes and put it into a Roth. Of course, the best way to avoid this is to never take a direct distribution from a qualified retirement plan if you intend to put the money into another qualified plan. Just fill out the paperwork and have the plan administrator send the funds directly to the new account. That way you won't be taxed on the money since you never actually received it. Okay, another rollover mistake to avoid, losing the ability to take the 10% penalty exception. Most qualified plan distributions are not only taxable, they also trigger a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you take the money out before reaching age 59 and a half. You may not even have known there are exceptions, but they indeed exist, although they're different for different plans. For example, if you're a first-time home buyer, you can take a distribution of up to $10,000 out of your IRA for a down payment without incurring the 10% penalty, but you can't do that with a 401k plan. All right, here's the fourth rollover mistake, doing a rollover from a 401k to an IRA after you leave an employer if you still have an outstanding loan against the 401k. Any outstanding loans will count as a distribution and will be fully taxable, plus subject to the 10% penalty if you're not yet 59 and a half. Obviously, you avoid that by paying off any loans before doing a rollover. So those are four potential rollover mistakes to avoid, but there may be others depending on your situation. It's always best to consult with your CPA or another financial advisor before doing a rollover. Of course, we highly recommend connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor for expert guidance on retirement planning, rollovers, and more. You can easily find a CKA in your area who is ready to assist you by visiting faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click on Find a Professional. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob Weston. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Today is the spring equinox, a day many have waited for. After months of cold, spring is finally here. But even though spring has come, technically, we may have to wait for the warmth and for the flowers to bloom. Waiting is part of life, and it takes patience. The book of James encourages us in this. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. And just as farmers wait for the rain, so must we wait for the Lord's return. And His timing is perfect. His promises will always come to pass. So let's trust Him as we wait. Grow in your walk with Christ through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that His top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything He won't, and then He does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, helping you understand God's wisdom for your financial decisions and choices. There is so much in God's Word related to this topic of money. We want to help you mine those principles and apply them to your daily financial decisions. And we do that when we tackle your questions and through the insights we share each day on the broadcast, hoping to be an encouragement to you, wise in our approach, empathetic, realizing, listen, we've all made mistakes, but as long as we purpose ourselves to be found faithful moving forward, that's our goal. Long obedience in the same direction is really what we're after. And we also want to approach this in a way that's hopeful, because we realize we have an abundance before even the first dollar because of what God has done on our behalf. His son, Jesus, shedding his blood on the cross, that substitutionary atonement to pay the penalty for our sins so we could be in a right standing before the Father. So we're rich, but we also have this responsibility after we give our lives to Jesus to be found faithful as stewards, managing God's money, holding it loosely, giving it generously, saving it appropriately, and that's where this program comes in. So if you have a question today, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll begin here in just a moment as we head to Georgia to talk to Beth. But first, in the news today, losing a spouse is, of course, emotionally and financially challenging, and many surviving spouses face the widow's penalty, which results in higher taxes and increased Medicare premiums. This occurs when the surviving spouse shifts from the more favorable married filing jointly status to single filing, leading to a lower standard deduction and higher tax brackets. This penalty disproportionately affects older women who generally outlive their husbands. In 2023, the CDC reported that women had an average life expectancy of 81.1 years compared to 75.8 years for men. After a spouse's death, a widow or widower can still file jointly for that year, but must switch to a single filer status the following year unless they qualify as a surviving spouse with a dependent child. The tax burden, though, can be worsened by inherited pre-tax retirement accounts, which require minimum distributions, what are known as RMDs. Financial experts suggest proactive planning to minimize taxes, and this looks like withdrawing funds from a pre-retirement, pre-tax retirement account earlier, or converting them to a Roth IRA, which would then allow for tax-free growth and withdrawals. Here's the bottom line. Working with a certified Kingdom advisor, a CKA, can help couples project future tax scenarios and decide whether to pay some taxes earlier at a lower rate. Strategies like Roth conversions or strategic withdrawals before RMDs can reduce the overall tax impact, ensuring financial stability for the surviving spouse. Planning ahead can help mitigate the widow's penalty, as it's called, and provide greater financial security in an already difficult season. If you'd like to connect with a CKA, maybe you find yourself in this position, I'd head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional there at the top of the page. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We've got some folks waiting patiently. I've got room for maybe one more question at the moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Beth has been waiting patiently there in Georgia. Go ahead, Beth.
Rob, I'm a single, retired, 75-year-old believer who is seeking to know and to follow God's will and bring Him glory in whatever I do. Wow. My children and I are seriously considering having approximately 750 square foot addition built onto my daughter's home. We've got the building, and I've gone and I've started the process for a HELOC loan, a home equity loan,
yes,
line of credit. And but I'm just would like to have your opinion, and because we chose that over the home equity line of credit because it just seemed to make sense that that would be a less. I have the 3 month, emergency fund saved up, and I have some savings, but I do not have enough to cover the cost. Of course, right now it's not the best time to do this, but it just seems like that's what has fallen to me right now. So I'm just wondering your opinion.
Well, I appreciate that. That was great background, and I think it's a great question. So let me just clarify. And by the way, let me mention, I love that you said you want to give glory to God in all you do, and that includes your finances. And that's really our heart as well, is to help Christians integrate faith and financial decisions for God's glory. It's actually our mission statement. So our hearts are aligned in that, Beth. The home in which you would use as collateral to secure that, what they call HELOC or home equity line of credit, is that your daughter's home or do you have another home?
No, it's my home. Home.
And you would not be selling it once you did this?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you would?
The plan is, yes, to pay off the HELOC loan. Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay, very good. Yeah, so I like that a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense. Do you have an existing first mortgage on that property, or is it free and clear?
It's free and clear.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, essentially what you're going to want to look at is whether or not, you know, there's a reason just to get a conventional mortgage. How much are you looking to spend? What do you have a ballpark on what this apartment will cost?
Yes, about 160.
About 160. Okay. So you'd have enough to get a first mortgage, essentially a cash out first mortgage. You know, the benefit of the home equity line of credit is you would essentially create a draw that would allow you to pull money out only as it's needed. So during construction, which might take 18 months or, you know, however long they're telling you, you wouldn't necessarily need all that money up front. The nice part about the home equity line of credit is they'd be in first position, so they wouldn't be behind any other loans, and you could just pull the money as you need it, and then at that point you'd start paying interest. Oftentimes they're interest only. And you know, so if you didn't want to pay back any principal, you wouldn't have to. Keeps your debt service very low. And then, obviously, as soon as you sell the house, you come in and wipe it out and it's done. So I like that option a lot. What you're going to want to look for is a HELOC that has, you know, very low closing costs. Oftentimes, you know, some banks will offer an incentive that says, yeah, you know, we're waiving, you know, certain fees. You know, maybe we're, you know, waiving any kind of origination fees. You know, they may or may not, you know, cover the cost of the appraisal, things like that. So you're going to want to look for those costs. The nice thing about the home equity line of credit is we do think that the trajectory on interest rates is down. And so if this was a mortgage you were going to keep for the long term, you know, you'd probably want to lock it in and avoid the risk of it going higher. But given that, you know, we think over the next 24 months, probably, you know, the time frame we're talking about for your construction, that interest rates will be headed down. In fact, Fed Chairman Powell said just this week they're, you know, anticipating at least two cuts this year. So the nice thing about that HELOC is with that variable interest rate, you'll benefit as those rates head down because that HELOC interest rate will head down with it. So I think at the end of the day, it probably is the wisest approach. The variable interest rate, the ability to draw only as you need it, the ability to pay only interest if you want to. And then as long as you find one that has very low closing costs and other origination fees. I think you're in great shape here, Beth. I'm on board.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your work, and you're spreading the good news about the blood of Jesus. Yes.
Well, thank you. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift for being on the program today, something that I think will be an encouragement to you. We appreciate your call, Beth. Lord bless you. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Art in Texas. We'll talk to Greg in Georgia. And then we'll we'll stay in Texas and talk to Cindy. More on Faith and Finance right around the corner.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, everything's about, first of all, the gospel, and then beyond that, helping you live as wise stewards, engaging the culture, living out a biblical worldview in every facet of your lives, whether it's your walk with Jesus personally, in your marriage, as you raise your children, and yes, as you manage God's money. And that's our heart on this program each day, is just to walk alongside you in that journey. We know it's a high calling from the Lord, and we want to help you be found faithful. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you want to get in on the conversation today, we'd love to have you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Art. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, here's what I've got on my mind this morning. I'm retired now, so I'm not planning on getting any new credit cards or making any bank loans. I do have several credit cards, me and my wife, and we use them regularly. But I'm thinking that I'd like to call the three credit reporting agencies and freeze our accounts because of not needing them. So yeah. I just wanted to see if you thought that would be a good idea or if there were any downsides to doing that.
No, I love that, Art, because to your point, you know, you're not out there looking to borrow any money. You know, that's the only potential downside, and I wouldn't even call it that, excuse me, of freezing your credit is, you know, what you might call the hassle factor, because if you're out trying to open a new credit card or you're out, you know, getting a car loan, you're going to have to, quote, thaw that credit temporarily. So it's one extra step. I still think it's worth it just given the rise in identity theft and fraud out there. But certainly in your case, Art, where you're saying, listen, you know, I'm beyond the need to borrow any money. We're now heading into retirement. So why leave that exposure there, which is present by way of those, you know, credit reports being, you know, unfrozen, if you will. And the idea is that the freeze would place a PIN number on it. If somebody tries to steal your or does steal your identity and attempts to open an account fraudulently in your name, every lender who would be opening a card or extending a line of credit would, you know, attempt to ping your credit report by way of the Social Security that was provided fraudulently. When the fraudster was unable to provide the PIN number, they'd be stopped in their tracks. That's the idea. So absolutely great idea. Going directly to each bureau is usually the way to do that. And so you'd want to go to each of the three, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can do that online by phone or by mail. The online method is generally the fastest and most convenient. And you would just head to their website. They have a place, each of them on their sites, where you'd initiate that freeze. And, you know, I think that's a great decision.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that a lot. Thanks.
Absolutely. By the way, for others listening who are wondering about this, and I said, you know, I generally recommend going direct. The other way to do it is through a third party. So, you know, a company like LifeLock can freeze your credit for you. The challenge is often you're paying a subscription fee, you know, somewhere between $9 and $39 a month. You know, and it's not as direct. So I like the idea of going directly to the bureaus. It's free. It's faster. It gives you direct oversight. You know, third-party tools can be better for ongoing monitoring, but not the freeze itself. My general thought on that is don't pay for that. Now, anytime there's a breach with an organization or an institution or a company that you work with, and they're offering to pay for free credit monitoring, we'll take it. But in terms of you adding that to your monthly budget, I just think as long as you're using best practices and you know, being wise about how you handle your credit and online transactions and you know, not clicking on links in emails and keeping your operating system up to date and you know, those types of things, not using public Wi-Fi to log into your bank, you know, you should be in good shape. All right, to Georgia we go. Greg, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm calling in regards to the comments you made and your opening comments on Roth or IRA rollovers.
Yeah.
I have four separate Roth IRA fixed annuities. Annuity number one is set. I'm very content with it. Annuities two, three, and four are all fixing to be out of their contract dates and surrender charges within the next 5 months of this year, one of which I'm already in the process of rolling it over into annuity one. And I guess now my question is, possible concern, does that apply to my circumstance, or am I able to roll over the Roth IRA annuities, all two, three, and four, into one this year? Because I only have a certain amount of time with these annuities, or they will lock me back in for a long surrender period in which I do not want the money with these companies this year because they're not offering anything attractive.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're at. But let me just clarify one thing. Did you say that they're currently Roth fixed annuities, or are they traditional?
They are. They're Roth fixed annuities. And I was just of the mindset that all your Roth can go into other Roth entities, regardless of what the investment is, you know, without tax implications. But I didn't know that there was a limit of how many rollovers in a period of time. So that's kind of what I'm calling about.
Yeah. No, you're in good shape. I mean, you know, absolutely, you can move the Roth fixed annuity over to a regular Roth account. Now, it depends on whether the annuity is already held within a Roth IRA and the specific terms of the annuity. But given that you're referring to it as a Roth fixed annuity, I'm assuming it's currently held inside a Roth IRA, inside an insurance company, in an annuity structure. And so you should be good. In terms of the direct rollovers, trustee-to-trustee transfer, there's no limit on the number of direct rollovers you can do in a year. Indirect rollovers would be a limit to one rollover per 12-month period. Let's do this. I've got to take a break, so I'll give you a little more detail on that just around the corner. Stay right there, Greg. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the Biblical Case for Cultural Engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got room for perhaps one more question today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, Cindy called today and couldn't hold. She was looking for a loan specifically for a church. And I will say our friends at Christian Community Credit Union is a great option there. If you're a lay leader or a pastor in a church looking to build new property, refinance, joinchristiancommunity.com could be a great resource. Cindy, I hope that helps you. Before the break, we were talking to Greg in Georgia. He's wondering about the limit on Roth IRA rollovers. And let me just clarify the direct versus indirect, because you should have unlimited opportunities here as long as you do a trustee-to-trustee transfer. So it doesn't, the check doesn't come to you first. It goes straight from one account to the other account without you touching it. So in your case, straight from, the annuity insurance company where the Roth IRA annuity is currently held to the custodian that houses your Roth IRA, that's a direct rollover. There is no limit to the number of times that you can do that in a year. The only limit is on an indirect rollover where you withdraw the funds from the Roth IRA within the annuity. They send you the check, and then you deposit the exact same amount in the Roth IRA, the other Roth IRA within 60 days. You can do that, but you can only do that indirect rollover one time per 12 months across all your IRAs. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. You have clarified it and made me feel much better. So good. I appreciate that.
All right, Craig. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm in a predicament that I really need your help.
All right.
I got my parents that are both in their mid-80s. Their net worth is over $2 million. They do not have a will. Their finances are a mess. And my father recently got caught up in a supposed Publishers Clearinghouse scam that says he won $23 million plus two cars but he's got to pay the taxes up front. Yeah. So far, he's given them $8,500. Mm. What can be done to, and he's taking money out of the bank. He's, and anyways, it's a real mess. He gets angry because he's not, I don't think he has all his marbles. And my mother's just been giving him money just to keep him off her back.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
can be done to protect them?
Yeah, David, boy, this is a challenging situation. And, you know, when aging parents, you know, this is one of the issues. We want to protect them, you know, and you know, these scammers are just so good at what they do. And I think, you know, the idea here is we just need to really try to gently educate them, put the guardrails around them, and try to the best of your ability to get them to take steps for proper planning so that when they're truly medically incapacitated, we've got the mechanisms in place for someone to step in as a power of attorney legally and financially, perhaps where a trust is involved, but certainly a power of attorney and a healthcare surrogate for those healthcare decisions. But that's going to require that they be willing to go down that road and that there's mental capacity to authorize it. And if there is, their willingness also to do it. So assuming we're not there yet in terms of somebody, you know, stepping in and making those decisions because, you know, they're still, you know, they've not been deemed medically incapacitated, then I think the starting point is gentle education, simply and repeatedly. You know, mom and dad, if someone says you won something but asks for money or personal details, it's a scam. Real prizes don't cost you anything to claim. And so explain that PCH never calls or emails or texts winners ahead of time. Legit big winners get a surprise visit from the prize patrol with a check, and no prepayment is required. And you can even remind them it's not how, you know, Ed McMahon did it on TV. You know, and so I think that's number one. Number two is you could set up some call screening where it blocks, you know, unknown numbers or spoof numbers. You could try to limit their mail exposure because a lot of these come via fake letters with checks or prize notices tricking people into sending money back. So you could offer to check their mail for them or, you know, sign them up for the USPS Informed Delivery, which is free online. So you can preview the mail and flag suspicious stuff if they open it. You could try to gently take control of the finances if we're there, you know, and so you just need to look at that. You could freeze their credit. You know, so those are, I think, the steps to take. Secondly, would be if there was losses to report and try to recover the current from the current scam. So you could call PCH to report it. You file a report with the Federal Trade Commission. And, you know, I think you could even file a police report. Thirdly, I think is just the, you know, the legal mechanisms that you need to try to put in place. Again, assuming they're mentally, you know, competent to do so, then the next question is, are they willing? Because what they really need is probably at the very least a will, a POA and a healthcare, you know, surrogate. But, you know, what would be ideal would be a trust where, you know, that would, you know, allow for seamless management if they become incapacitated and the trustee, perhaps you or another family member could then take over at that point. But give me your thoughts on all that. I know I've thrown a lot at you there.
Well, we've contacted the FBI and also the state police have told him it was a scam. Local police have told him it was a scam. His best friend, family members, but he is so convinced. I think it's a matter of pride. He wants it to be true to prove all of us wrong. So
yeah.
So he keeps on taking the calls. We've had his phone number changed. My mother has changed it back. And those numbers, it's a multitude of phone numbers he gets called from.
Yeah.
And those have been blocked, but he unblocks them.
You're doing everything you can, and he's kind of working against you. And I get the challenge here because, you don't have a willing partner here to try to, address these issues. And so if he's trying to unwind everything you're doing, you know, your attempts are going to be, less effective for sure. So I think just stay at it. I think whenever you have windows of opportunity to speak in, does he realize that, he has in fact lost the $8,500 through a scam, or is he challenging that notion as well?
He's challenging that notion as well. However, on the bright side of all this, I've been using this information to talk to other couples and make sure that they've got a will in place, make sure all their financial paperwork is in order so they don't leave this mess to their children.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, and you've done that here today, David, so your testimony is important, and I'm confident it's been an encouragement and perhaps even, an admonition to some folks that were listening today. We appreciate your call. Thanks for being on the program. Quickly to Indiana, Tyler, I know you have a question about your mortgage. I've got just about a minute left. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I refinanced during COVID at the 2.5%, and I've been paying extra, and the wife says that's a waste of money at that rate, that we shouldn't pay any extra on the principal.
Gotcha. Yep, let's do this. I've got to take a break. I will tackle that one right around the corner. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord. And it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Thrilled to have you along today. We've got room for you today, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question, call right now, 800-525-7000. Any financial topic in play today? Before the break, we were talking to Tyler in Indiana. He's 34. He's working full-time and wondering about paying off the mortgage. Give that to us again, Tyler. Just what is the situation and what are you guys thinking about?
So I pay extra on the principal every month, so it's just an extra $100, and she says that's a waste of money.
Yeah, okay. And she meaning your wife, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Uh-huh. And what is your interest rate on that mortgage? Do you know offhand?
2.5 is the reason she says we should just leave it alone.
Yeah, Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, is it a waste of money? No, absolutely not. I mean, you're moving yourself more quickly toward home ownership, being, you know, completely debt free, which is great. You're saving the interest, the 2.5% on that mortgage. And I love the idea of you all, as you're able, to be debt free. Now, we've got to balance other competing priorities financially that align with your values. And so as you and she take a step back and you say, okay, money's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. What's important to us as Christ followers and as one flesh under the Lord, as in terms of where he's leading our family, and how important is saving for the future? How important is giving generously right now? How important is being completely debt-free? All three of those things that I just mentioned, and there are other, you know, God-honoring ways to use money, starting a business and, you know, whatever it might be. But among those three, those are all good things. And so the question is, how do we balance that? And so I think, you know, one idea is, you know, some people will call me and say, I just have a real conviction from the Lord that I'm supposed to be debt-free as absolutely soon as possible. And I would say to that person, great, then you go for it and don't look back. I would honor that conviction that the Lord has given you. And if he's given it to one spouse and not the other, I would say, let's come together and talk and pray through that and talk about how to honor that conviction that the Lord has given you. If you're not calling me saying that, you're just saying, I want to make the wise financial decision. You like the idea of being debt-free, including your home at some point, certainly at retirement, maybe well before that. But you are as equally as excited about saving for the future, especially as a, you know, a young couple with, you know, 30 years of compounding ahead of you. You know, there's something to be said about being a systematic investor right now. You know, you hopefully you have giving goals and priorities, and you want to prioritize honoring the Lord through your giving. And so one way to approach all that is to say, yeah, we don't want to just pay on the scheduled payment. So I like your idea of sending an extra $100 a month. Maybe that results in you sending close to one extra payment a year. I think that's great. I mean, that'll take a 30-year mortgage and cut it down to probably somewhere between 24 and 25 years. Just that one extra payment a year going to principal. That's awesome. But if you have high interest credit card debt, or you don't have your emergency fund, or you're not giving regularly, or you're not, you know, putting 10 to 15% in your retirement, maybe this isn't the season to do that. And perhaps that's what she's getting at, especially given that you've got this very low interest rate on the mortgage. So I guess I'd sum that up to say, if you have a conviction to be debt-free, then I'd really listen to the Lord on that. Apart from that, there may be more productive uses of that money in terms of giving or long-term investments as a young couple today than paying off a 2.5% mortgage with a phenomenal interest rate. Does that all make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think at the end of the day, there's not a right or wrong answer here. And so I think this is an opportunity for the two of you to come together. You know, I was just looking at a preview today of issue 2 of our new Faithful Steward magazine. And we have an article in there on temperaments, and it looks at the 4 temperaments. And, you know, depending on how God has wired you, your temperament will have a lot to do with how you manage money. Some people like the security of, you know, of paying off debt. Others like to use money, you know, to build memories and create experiences. Some hold it loosely, some hold it tightly. And I think, you know, as that's the tension in marriage, but that's a good thing because we come together and we kind of wrestle through this. So perhaps this is an opportunity for you and she, you know, on your next date to say, hey, let's talk about this. And how does being debt-free fit alongside these other priorities we have? And let's make a plan that we're both bought into that reflects both of us, but ultimately drives us toward where we believe God is taking us. Hopefully those thoughts give you a few additional things to think about. But it's a great question, Tyler, and I appreciate you being on the program, sir. God bless you. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Catherine. How can I help?
Hey, Rob, thank you for your ministry. It has served us so well in the past, and I'm calling with a different question this time.
Awesome. Okay, excellent. How can I help?
Well, yeah, it has to do with adult children who make an average income, not really very high, and don't have debts, but aren't financially secure for the future. And they stand to inherit wealth when parents will be deceased, but I was wondering if
they should open a Roth IRA or retirement fund for themselves, and does that get affected if they inherit money later on?
It's a great question. And are you talking about for tax purposes specifically?
Yeah, specifically for tax purposes. I wouldn't want them to get hit real hard with the inherit. You know, I didn't know if they need to put that money aside now, knowing that probably down the road that they would have some inherited money. But I always think saving and planning is good.
I totally agree, Catherine. And I think the first issue that you bring up here is really around this idea of transferring wisdom before wealth. You know, what we see in Ecclesiastes is that both wisdom and wealth are good, but only one of them preserves, and that's wisdom. And so the idea is if the wealth outpaces the wisdom, we're in a danger zone. But if the wisdom outpaces the wealth, then we're in a healthy zone. And the challenge with inheritance is, especially with a child who's had a modest income, then all of a sudden there's this huge influx of this, you know, massive inheritance. There's the risk potentially that in a sudden fashion, the wealth can outpace the wisdom in a hurry. And I mean wisdom from a spiritual standpoint, knowing Jesus, he is wisdom himself, but also wisdom in terms of just financial maturity and understanding a biblical worldview of money. And so that needs to be the priority. How do we help to set them up, you know, with that wisdom transfer, transferring those values and, you know, the things that you hold dear to around living simply and working hard and giving generously and, you know, saving for the future and providing for our families, and, you know, all these things that I think, you know, would be important for you to pass down so they're ready to receive it. Now, in terms of how they should operate their finances or handle their finances now, in light of that inheritance that's coming, I would almost act as if it's not there, because just the disciplines of wise money management, of working and saving and giving and, you know, living modestly and, you know, all these habits and disciplines that we form in maturing through wise money management are just as much for us spiritually as they are financially. And so I wouldn't want them to kind of throw caution to the wind and say, well, we can, you know, spend more frivolously because we know we have this big windfall coming. When one, you know, the parents are the steward of that asset, and the parents may change their mind, you know, in terms of where they're going. They may decide a much larger portion is going to ministry, you know, and so I don't think they should count on that. I mean, wealth is not certain. What if something happens and that wealth goes away? So, you know, I think they need to establish their own wise money management disciplines rooted in biblical wisdom, including saving for the future. And I think a Roth IRA is a great way to do that, despite the fact that they know perhaps, and, you know, we expect that they will get a large windfall down the road. But let's also think about how we do that wisdom transfer as well. The last thing that I'll say is, you know, with regard to the taxes, that really shouldn't be a concern because, you know, there, at least based on the current laws, there is no federal, you know, inheritance tax. And even the estate, it has to get above $13 million before there's even a chance that they'd have any estate taxes before they get the inheritance. But, you know, they wouldn't have to pay any inheritance tax at the federal level. And a Roth IRA is a great tool to save in because you put in after-tax dollars and you get tax-free growth. Does that all make sense, though? Is that helpful?
Yes. And we live that way, too, not knowing we would have inheritance. I think that's totally – is there a book you would recommend to have an adult conversation with adult children on wisdom and wealth and management?
Yeah, let's do this. I'm going to send you two things. I'm going to send you a copy of our new magazine, Faithful Steward, where we have an article in there on wisdom over wealth. And then I think the second thing is I'm going to send you a copy of Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs, which is, I think, the very best book out there on kind of wealth transfer, not the mechanics, but the why and the process through a biblical worldview. So we'll send you Faithful Steward, Issue 1. and Splitting Heirs. Those two resources is our gift to you, Catherine. And we so appreciate your call today and your question. Thanks for being on the show.
Rob, that's right. So generous of you. Thank you.
Happy to do it. Thank you for your kind remarks about the program. We appreciate it. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Delighted that you were along with us today. I hope today's been an encouragement to you. That's certainly my goal, to help you see your opportunity to steward God's money faithfully. And boy, when we do, there's just so much blessing. And it's not necessarily financial. I'm talking about just the joy and the freedom and the intimacy with the Lord that comes with holding his resources loosely and living out a biblical worldview. Big thanks to my team today, Taylor Stanrich, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, and everybody here at FaithFi. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.